Goedenavond, gemeente. Baie welkom. Vanavond se erediens. Ek sal nou vir Dominee Kenani voorstel. Voor ons begin met die erediens, net enkele afkondigings namens die kerkraad. Ingekom met belydenis attestaat vanaf VGK Pretoria is Johan Bank. Ons welkom hom in ons gemeente. En ook, u word herinnerd, vanavond se erediens is 5:00. En dan die eerste kollekte is vir die kerk en die tweede kollekte is vir sending. Kom laat ons staande ons God tot ons harte tot God verhef. Gemeente, ons erken ons hulp is in die naam alleen van die Here wat hemel en aarde gemaak het. Genade vir julle in vrede van hom wat was en wat is en wat kom en van die sewe geeste wat voor sy troon is en van Jesus Christus die getroue getuie die eersgeborene uit die dode en die owerste oor die konings van die aarde. Amen. As antwoordlied sing ons eers Psalm 33 vers 1 op God se seën groet. And it's my privilege to welcome Reverend Kadani. He said I can just say Kadani. Thank you very much for being here.
Thanks.
You'll do the preaching and I'll also do the end at the end. Thank you.
Let us pray. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who is and was and is to come. And we gather together this evening around your word to learn, to meditate, and to see the wondrous work of our God for the salvation that he has afforded us through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, that you may open our hearts and our minds to the preaching of the word. And we pray, Lord, also that you would be with every preaching of the word throughout the world as your word is being preached, that you may be glorified and magnified. And we pray, Lord, also as we gather together around your word, that you may forgive our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, and that he may cleanse us, and that he may send us home indeed with the hope that is within us through Jesus Christ. This we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I would like to turn to the reading of the scriptures, and we will be beginning with Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, we will be starting from verse 26. In verse 26, in the sixth month, the angel of Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greetings this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and he shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary arose and went to in haste into the hill country to a town in Judea. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greetings of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greetings came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy, and blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble state of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. And I would like you to turn also to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And we will be reading from verse 1 until to 21. Ephesians 5 from verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as it is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous is an adulterer, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ in God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partner with them, for at one time you were darkened, but now you are lightened in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of the darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret, but when anything is exposed by the light, is become visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully, then, how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything that God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And I would like you to turn also to Psalm 33. Psalm 33, shout for joy in the Lord, all you righteous. Praise befits the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Make melody to him with a harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully on the string with a loud shout. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth all the hosts. He gathers the water of the sea as a heap. He puts the deep in the storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plan of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all the children of man. From where he sits enthroned, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of all them and observes all their deeds. The king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a false hope for the salvation, and by its great might it cannot rescue. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love, that he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart is glad in Him because we trust in His holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. Let us sing Psalm 33, 5 and 6. This sermon, I preached it for the Christmas, and I think we're not far enough from Christmas, so I would like to remind you again about Christmas, and so you would hear a little bit about Christmas, and that's what's happening. So the focus reading of this text, this sermon, would be verses 46 and 47, Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 from verse 46 and 47. Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." This is how Mary's song begins, and it is known as the Song of Magnificat, and it is a well-known song. And so the theme for this sermon is, we magnify God because He is mighty, holy, and merciful. We magnify God because He is mighty, holy, and merciful. When God delivered Israel out of Egypt, Mary, or Miriam, the sister of Moses, sang a song of deliverance, saying, The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God. I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him, etc., etc. It was a song of victory. It was a song of triumph. And Hannah, when God visited her by his mercy, she sang a song of victory also, saying, "My heart exalts in the Lord. My strength is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation," and so on and so on. And when God visited Mary, she sang a song of magnifying the Lord, as we have read above. These songs are similar in nature and they are similar in approach. In verses 46 and 47, we are told that Mary's soul magnifies the Lord. The word magnify means to make something bigger. And this making bigger can be done in size or in significance. For example, a magnifying glass makes things look bigger. And in terms of significance, the press could magnify a story by telling it over and over again and making a bigger story than original it was. Now, Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord." Now, she does not mean that God has become greater and larger than he already is. But what she meant by saying, "My soul magnifies the Lord," it was that my soul has been saturated, my soul has been soaked by the sense and full speech of God. Her soul was filled and saturated with the presence of God, and her soul was filled and saturated by his mercy. And the soul that is saturated by God's presence and by God's blessings does one thing. It sings. It praises. It magnifies. It adores the Lord. And as we have read, for example, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 to 20, Paul says there, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, giving thanks always and for everything that God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." The Apostle Paul tells us that the Spirit of God is given as a spirit of wisdom and understanding. And those who are filled with the Spirit will be carried out in acts of devotion. Their souls will be expressed itself in songs of praise and adoration to God. Being filled in the spirit of God encourages joy and gladness in the person who is being saved. Being filled with the Spirit leads one to sing, to make melody in their hearts, not only with their voices but with the inward affections. And it becomes delightful. This is what it means to be a light and a salt of the world. And being filled with the Holy Spirit, we magnify God and we rejoice on the salvation that he has afforded us. Now, Mary, being filled and saturated with God's presence and mercy, she says, my soul magnifies the Lord. He is so great and so wonderful that she bursts into singing and into praising to the Lord. So the question is, what are the reasons that Mary magnifies the Lord and rejoices in him? What are they? There are three reasons that she gives why she magnifies him. And let us turn to verse 49 to 50. There we find the reason why she magnifies him. From 49, "For God, who is mighty, has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. She gives three attributes of God for her reason to magnify him. First, the attribute she gives is that God is mighty. He is mighty. And then he's mighty that he has done great things for her. That's the first reason. The second reason that she gives is another attribute, that God is holy. That is his name, she says. And the third reason she gives is that God is merciful. Those who fear him from generation to generation, he is merciful. And these are the reasons that why she is magnifying him. And so we're going to look only the first point. Mary magnifies God because he is mighty. She magnifies God because he is mighty. Mary was a peasant girl in Nazareth. You could see she was from a poor family of David. She could not even afford a lamb or a young goat at the purification of Jesus Christ, her first son, her firstborn son. But we are told that she brought a pair of turtle dove, and that is given to the poor people that can afford it. In other words, she was not a daughter of the high priest or a daughter of the significant family like the Pharisees or the Sadducees, but she was from an insignificant poor family of David. And look how she describes herself in verse 48. A humble state. That's where she comes from. Or other translation would say, from a lowly state. That's where she's coming from. And also, she was espoused to a carpenter. I really cannot make much of money out of it at that time especially. And so she was married to a poor man. Plus, she was aware of state in a special sense, in a spiritual sense, which as that of every son and daughter of Adam was very low by the fall, for the sin has run all mankind into debt and we have nothing to pay. It has stripped us of our original righteousness and clothed us in rags. So for Mary, both physically and spiritually, there was nothing to boast about herself. Nothing. She was poor. She was a sinner like the rest of us and desperate for a savior. And that's why she boasts in the Lord's might. And she said, "For God who is mighty has done great things for me." God who is mighty has done great things for me. What great things did he do for her? The first thing is that this mighty one has spoken to her. He has spoken to her. The one who has recognized Mary is the Almighty One. The one who acknowledged her and validated her is the Mighty One. The one who appreciated her and certified her is the Almighty One. Who is this Almighty One? This Almighty One is the one who possesses all power in heaven and on earth. He is the one Almighty Creator. He is the Almighty governing the universe. He is the Almighty who is the Redeemer. He is the one who can create the universe by the sound of his voice, by the power of his command, who can say, "Let there be," and there is. And his might is displayed, especially in Psalm 33 we read. In Psalm 33, verse 6 and 9, "By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth all their hosts. He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. He puts the deep in the storehouse. Let the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him, for he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood." Notice the psalm. It's telling us that by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. By the breath of his mouth, all things in them were made. Now imagine, it is this Almighty One that is speaking to Mary. It is this God who has recognized her. It was not some kind of an earthly king who came to her. It was not some kind of an idol that has spoken to her. It is this Almighty One who is the creator of heaven and earth. He is the one who is speaking to Mary. This Almighty One stooped so low as far as Mary and spoke to her, engaged with her, and made her the mother of the expected Messiah. No wonder she said in verse 48, "From now on, all generations will call me blessed." She was not only saying that all the generations of the Jews will call me blessed, but that all the generations of the earth, both Jews and Gentiles, will call her blessed from generation to generation. And this is because God has looked upon her lowly and exalted her to be the mother of Jesus who would save the world. And not only that, but he had made her the mother of Jesus, whereby all the people, both Jews and Gentiles, will call her from generation to generation blessed. And I would like to compare now a little bit to the rich people, what the Bible describes them, especially in Job chapter 21. We find in Job chapter 21, the rich people do not acknowledge the blessing of God. He speaks to them, but they refuse to listen. Look at the verse, especially 14 and 15. They, that is the rich people, they say to God, "Depart from us, we do not desire the knowledge of your ways, but what is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit do we get if we pray to him?" And that's their attitude. Notice how they phrase it. And they take very lightly of the name of God. What is the Almighty? What is he? They speak as though he has nothing to do with them. But also, look how highly they speak about themselves. That we should serve him. That we should serve him. In other words, we are rich and mighty in power. Shall we subject to this God? Shall we be accountable to him? No, we are lords. We are lords of ourselves. We are lords of the land. But okay, if we do subject to him, then they ask the question, what profit shall we have if we pray unto him? What do we get out of it? What is the profit? And most of the world rests on this statement. The church preaches the gospel, but the rich says, what is the Almighty that we should serve him? It's strange that creatures like us would speak so wickedly about our Creator who we depend on him for life and breath. This Almighty is our Creator, Redeemer, Savior, Governor, and Judge. And yet the world will say to God, depart from us. The world has resolved not to walk to God in God's ways and desire not to know his ways. And Jesus said, especially in Luke chapter 6, verse 24, woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. And Mary says, in her magnificent song, in verse 53, the rich God has sent empty away. This is a very sad statement. This is Christmas Day. I mean, it is Mary's talking about Christmas, about the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is born to save the world and the perfect gift for all men. Yet, there are those who think they are rich, have no need of Christ. And those who are rich, who are not hungry, who like Laodicea think they have no need of him, are full of themselves and their own righteousness, and think they have sufficient in themselves, and those God sends away from his door, they are not welcome to him. He sends them empty away. They come full of self and they live without Christ. But to those who see their need of Christ and are impatiently desirous of righteousness and life in him, he fills with good things, with the best things. He gives liberally to them, and they are abundantly satisfied with the blessing of his gifts. Those who are weary and heavy laden shall find rest with Christ. And those who are thirst are called out to him, and they are to come to him and drink and eat without any pay. Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. The spirit of Christmas is magnifying the Lord, to rejoice in his might, to rejoice in his mercy, to rejoice in his holiness, so that we may be filled with his presence." And so in conclusion, in this Christmas and New Year, you are supposed to be saturated and soaked in the word and promise of God that would lead you to a proper devotion that expresses itself in songs and praises and magnifying the Lord. That's what it should lead us. So my question is, in this Christmas and New Year, has God the Almighty One recognized you this afternoon to be saved? Has he? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit where your soul bursts into singing and praising of God in adoration and also magnifying him? And if God recognizes you to be saved, then you should, like Mary, burst into singing, praising and glorifying God. May the Lord saturate you this afternoon in his word and promise that leads to magnify Christ and him and the triune God in your life. Amen. Let us pray. Father, give us hearts like Mary, where we sing your praise in adoration with all our soul and all our spirit. May the words that pass over our lips come from the depths of our being, for we ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us sing hymn 33, 10 and 11. us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening, especially as we gather together around your word, that your name may be magnified, your name may be glorified, your name may be upheld and in devotion and praise. We thank you, Lord, that you have called us out of darkness, out of this world, to be the children of God, and help us, O Lord, to be the light of the world, the salt of the world, whereby we display the goodness of our God to the world. And we pray, Lord, that you may fill us with your Holy Spirit and with your word to demonstrate what is promised to the world, and so the world is without excuse. Our God has spoken salvation, and he has delivered the world from its misery and its rebellious ways. And yet many have trodden and have thrown away the salvation that is being given to them. And so we pray, Lord, that even there, that your name may be glorified and magnified. O Lord, our Lord, we plead before you like Abraham has pleaded to Sodom and Gomorrah, that you may visit this world with your grace and goodness, and that many, many may turn from their evil ways to serve the living God and be saved. We ask you, Lord, for the preaching of the gospel, that it may reach even to the ends of the earth. We pray for those who are missionaries throughout the world, as they carry the gospel to the ends of the earth, that you would be with them and guide them, O Lord, and that you may give them the wisdom and strength as they bring this glorious gospel of our God, and that you may be glorified even to the ends of the earth. O Lord, our Lord, this evening we worship you, we glorify you, and we magnify you like Mary. And as we endeavor in this new year, that you may be with us, and that you may go before us as you have gone before the people of Israel as they were entering the promised land, and that you have been their God and delivered them from their enemies. And so you would be with us, O Lord, this year also, that you would go before us and spy the land and protect us from our enemies. But above all, O Lord, that your name may be glorified and praised throughout our lives and even in the demonstration of the preaching of the gospel. O Lord, our Lord, and we come before you as children who have been delivered out of the world and yet sinners. Sinners because we have carried the old self, that you may deliver us from the evil ways and that you may cleanse us through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, and present us to yourself as a bride. And we pray this evening that you would be with us as we are departing home, that he may give us a safe trip. We thank you, Lord, for the good things that shower upon us, the rain, the food, and the health. And we glorify you and praise you for all these things. And we pray, Lord, also for the mission works throughout the world, and especially the mission works that is in the townships. We pray, Lord, that he may send men and women the hearing of the gospel, and one day we may see the Reformed Church taking place in this, and that many may turn from their evil ways. We pray also, Lord, that he may forgive our sins this evening, and that he may send us with a blessing to glorify you and praise you. In his name this we pray. Amen. Let us stand and sing the Apostles' Creed. Let us then present our offerings to the Lord. Let us sing then the hymn 1, that is 1, 5, and 6.
Thank you very much, Reverend. Gemeente, laat ons harte tot God verhef en die seën van die Here ontvang en in vrede hiervandaan weggaan. Die Here sal julle seën en julle behoed. Die Here sal julle sy aangesig oor julle laat skyn en julle genadig wees. Die Here sal sy aangesig oor julle verhef en aan julle vrede gee. Amen.